welcome you into the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by ESPN contributor Adam Kaplan. We're here to talk about the Eagles, obviously getting ready for a big game on Sunday at MetLife Stadium against the New York Football Giants. A game, Adam, that is obviously a huge division game in a division that apparently nobody wants to win.
You're right. It's amazing. If the Eagles win and the Cowboys lose, they technically have a small advantage for first place. I picked a team to win this division at 9-7. Heck, 8-8 might win it. How about the Seahawks, Dave, when they won it at 7-9? I mean, this is crazy, but it's not a great division, okay? It's the worst division in football. So I think you look at this situation now and say, you know what? Play your best football that you can. And coaches say this all the time, usually behind closed doors. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. The Giants are 0-4. Their confidence level is dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Take advantage of that.
Yeah. But a win gets them right back into the mix here.
Yep.
We've got a busy show for you today. A lot of calls from you, predictions. We also will hear from coordinators Pat Shurmur and Bill Davis. First up, let's get you caught up with everything going on with the Eagles. Chris McPherson with today's headlines.
Thanks, Dave, and good morning, Eagles fans. We'll start with Chip Kelly's message to the team, and it's simple. Turn the page, forget what's happened the last couple weeks, and look ahead to the New York Giants. One player who is looking forward to the showdown this Sunday, running back LeSean McCoy. He wants to atone for his performance Sunday against the Broncos, one he called the worst of his career. He is still the league's leading rusher, and he's feasted on the Giants in the past. 8 career regular season games, 694 rushing yards, an average of 5.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, and 24 carries of 10 yards or more. It's October 1st, so it's the start of the Eagles Tackling Breast Cancer campaign. Make sure you help out. Later on in the show, the coordinators will meet the media. Pat Shurmur and Bill Davis will review what happened Sunday and look ahead to the showdown with the New York Giants, which will be broadcast on Fox this Sunday beginning at 1 p.m. You can watch our kickoff show here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com starting at 12:30 p.m. That's it for your headlines. Let's send it back to Dave Spadaro.
We will take your predictions. Give us a call, 215-339-6709. Adam, let's get some thoughts here. Let's talk about this football team, the state of the Philadelphia Eagles at 1-3. Let's begin with the offense. Just 16 points against the Chiefs, 20 points against the Broncos. What is going on with the Eagles offense? Do we expect to score a lot more than that?
Well, when you look at the yardage totals where you like. That's not the problem, Dave. The problem is the red zone offense, 5 out of 12. Last couple games, the red zone offense, not good at all.
And tied for 27th in the league there.
How about that, Dave? And the other thing is, and Chip talked about it, it's a good point, the self-inflicted wounds, a drop pass, a penalty. You can't have this stuff. And I've always said this. Bad teams or disappointing teams find ways to lose. They have mental errors. The mental errors, the drop passes, Brent Celek, it's a great throw. He ran a great route. Got to catch the football. There it is. You can't do that. And this has been a problem for Brent the last couple of years.
So how do you fix it, Adam? Is it a scheme thing? Do you just keep pounding
it's
away?
It's concentration. It's not a scheme thing. If the guys are getting open, it's not a scheme thing. Now, the other part of that, though, I would say, when you talk about players getting open, on the outside, you've got one guy who gets consistently open. That's DeSean Jackson. They've got to find a way schematically to get other receivers open, whether it's moving Jason Vaughn around, getting Demaryius Johnson involved. Get someone else who can make a play. You saw James Casey in that game. Made a great catch and run. Doesn't get another shot at it. So find another way to get other personnel groupings on the field.
Lots to talk about here. Offense, defense, special teams as the Eagles looking to bounce back in the NFC East on Sunday against the Giants. A win puts the Eagles back at the top of the NFC East. We take a break on the other side. Coordinators Shurmur and Davis meet the media.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity. They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV. Oops. Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan, Eagles Live, the name of the show. We come your way Monday through Thursday. Tomorrow, Merrill Reese joins us in studio, and we take a trip down memory lane. The miracle of the Meadowlands, 35 years ago. This November, so the Eagles trip up to what used to be Giant Stadium in the Meadowlands, a significant one, Adam. You remember watching that game?
Of course, I was actually in diapers then. I don't remember.
Yes.
You know, I watched the replay 10 years after that. But no, for Merrill's call, I know exactly where I was, and it was something that was so bizarre. In fact, the result of that play was the victory formation, and the coaches getting fired for the Giants. It's just amazing how one play can change everything.
Name the TV broadcasters for that.
Don Crickey, I think, was one of them, but I don't remember the other one.
Sonny Jurgensen.
But who was the lead?
TV
who was the?
It was Don Crickey and Sonny
Jurgensen. See, okay.
Well done.
Old number nine. How about that?
Let's talk a little bit about, we're going to hear from Pat Shurmur and as well as Bill Davis here. Let's talk a little bit about the Eagles defense. Sure. It appears that the Eagles defense, they want to keep everything in front of them, Adam. And I understand this concept. Don't let teams beat you over the top. Mm-hmm. Rally to the football. Make tackles. Get some pressure generated by the front four. Is this the sense you're getting? We talked about this in the offseason, your idea that it would be a Pittsburgh Steelers-style scheme. That is not what the Steelers preach.
Well, here's what I would tell you. I talked to one of Billy Davis's coach mates, who's now with the Raiders, and this coach told me that basically if Billy gets the right personnel, he's going to run the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, which is matchup zone and press. You see the press techniques that they use, and you can't use it all game because you got to change it up so the offense doesn't know what you're going to do. But fact of the matter is, Dave, it didn't work very well. Whatever they tried to do against Denver didn't work. The bubble screens, they did everything. Denver really got it going in the second half when the Eagles played a competitive game in the first half. Boy, the third quarter, Dave, the defense just struggled mightily.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of teams do struggle against Peyton Manning and that offense, which is running at a different level. Got to get some takeaways, got to get some quarterback pressure. Eli Manning, on the other hand, has had trouble staying up this season. He's turned the ball over 9 times.
Yep.
The Giants have scored 15 points a game. I mean, this is not the Eli Manning that Eagles fans have seen through the years. Look at that quarterback rating, 69.1. He's been sacked a bunch. How can the Eagles win this battle here against a decimated front? Can you give us an injury update on the Giants' offensive line?
So David Deal, the right tackle with the thumb, he was active last week, but he didn't start. Two of their other offensive linemen are going to be very questionable this week. Boss is hurt.
Okay.
And you know,
let's
it's
go
a
to Pat Shurmur. We'll talk about that later. Pat Shurmur, offensive coordinator, meets the media.
Pat, how's it going?
So, got some plays for us?
Yeah. No. No. Got a lot of plays, not for you guys. No.
Red zone. When you look at red zone. 5 out of 12, 5 touchdowns, 12 drives. Is there any common thread there, or is it a different thing each time? How much is that hurting you guys right now, and what do you see?
Well, I think we need to score more points, and certainly when we're in the red zone, we want touchdowns. I think when I looked at what we've done in the red zone, you know, we've kind of stopped ourselves in some areas. You know, you get a bad play or two down there, and then you put yourself in a third long situation. You know, we need to be probably more efficient there in that area, on all of our downs in the red area.
Size, I mean, is it tough to capitalize on his strengths in the red zone, or can he be as good as anybody else?
No, he can be an effective receiver all the way up and down the field.
Okay. On Sunday night, Chip was fairly adamant that Mike needs more protection. What's been the issue with the offensive line?
Did Chip say that?
On Sunday night, after the game.
Okay, all right.
What's been the issue with the offensive line in pass protection in particular? Yeah.
Again, I don't think there's any common thread there. I think when we're throwing the football, there's a lot of elements to completing a pass, you know, and the first one starts with protection. I think when you look at it, the last 2 weeks, we've played against some pretty good fronts, all right, and I think our guys battled in there. And there are times, now when you watch any game, there are times when it's not a perfect pocket. You know, ideally you want them to be able to take one step from the gun or three steps from the gun, be able to plant, hitch, and throw the football. There's a lot of times when that doesn't happen, and we're very fortunate we have a guy like Michael that can escape and extend the play. But I think generally speaking, our guys are battling. We faced two pretty good fronts, and, I think all the position groups can play better, and we need to. We need to score more points. Well, let's face it. We need to score more points, and we got to do what we got to do on offense to help us win.
Mike seemed to be more willing, especially in the first half when you guys were really in the game, to kind of take off and make a play with his foot if the pocket was collapsing. Does that, when you do that though, do you fall into a trend then of not going through all of your progressions? I mean, do you have?
No. Again, every pass is different. I mean, it's amazing. You got to coordinate 11 guys playing against 11 guys, and you know there's a lot of things that happen on each play. For instance, I think there's a service out there that counts targets on receivers. Well, you know, if the ball's thrown away and the closest guy, oh, that's the target. You know, so there's a lot going on that sometimes you can't see. I think Mike, when he uses his legs properly, can be very dynamic. And we've seen him do that throughout his career. And he's going through his progression when he takes off. Those are times when there's excellent protection, where he's able to go through his progression, whether he hits his alert, his 1, 2, 3, then after he hitches a couple times, he takes off. So those are some of the plays that don't get talked about, but I think, you know, it's what we coach, and I think that's what he's very good at.
Just to go back to Deshaun, what did the Broncos do well?
Can't we all just get along here?
Probably not. To go back to Deshaun, what did the Broncos do well to sort of take him away, and then how do you correct that in order to get him more involved?
Well, I think teams have played more man-to-man against us. I think Deshaun battled and did a good job. I think sometimes catches come in bunches. I think, in this case here, we spread the ball around. I think we had 9 or 10 different receivers that touched the ball. And I think all our receivers just need to battle when they're manned up.
It is man-to-man, though, with Deshaun. Shouldn't he win most of those battles?
Yeah, and he does. He does. I mean, he's like any receiver, though. When they come up and they play man-to-man on you, you've got to win your matchup.
Can you talk about the ways in which Zach Ertz is developing and how close he is to becoming more of a fixture in the offense?
Well, he is a fixture in our offense. He plays. And again, anybody that's active on offense, we trust them when we put them in the ballgame. And some guys play more than others. You know, for example, Chris Polk was in there and he played well. I think Zach he learns something new every day when he's out here. He's a young player, much like Lane Johnson. And, you know, he has his good plays and bad. And we feel like, you know, he can do some really fine things in the passing game, and he's becoming a better blocker.
What do you think of Lane each week as far as his confidence level? Obviously, he's had some tough games.
He's a very confident guy. I don't know if you want to call it. You know, I think every player that plays has a few bad plays. They all do. They all do. And I think the same can be said for a rookie. We just focus on it a little bit more. You know, and I think when you're playing positions either on the perimeter, wide receiver or corner, or in pass protection at tackle, you know, we naturally focus on that. But Lane's battling, and I don't see a confidence issue problem.
Are you seeing progression, though, from Lane from week to week?
I mean, absolutely.
Obviously, he's being asked to do a lot, you know.
Well, he's being asked to block, was what we brought him here to do. But I do see progression, you know, and what he lacks is experience in this league, and he's getting it, and he's I think he's doing a good job.
While the Giants are 0-4, is their pass rush as dangerous as ever?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Is the Giants' pass rush, even though they're 0-4, is their pass rush still as dangerous as ever?
There's no question. I think they're one of the best pass rushing fronts in the league. And, you know, I don't really watch or think about the record when I watch them on tape. And they can crank it up and get after the quarterback. That's just part of what they've always been good at, and it hasn't changed.
What do you think about Bryce Brown when he's running outside? Is he kicking out too much and not maybe hitting some of those gaps? Or do you guys like the way he's running right now?
No, we like the way he's running. I mean, there's some areas and there's some plays where he probably could have been a little better. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't say there's a trend, though. But he's a good, hard runner. Made a nice play for us on the screen. He had a pretty good, steady game.
Can a guy like Jeff Mayo, I mean, he made a couple catches at the end of the game. Can he earn more playing time with that kind of, even if it's mop-up? Does that take notice?
Yeah, it's never mop-up. But I do think that when guys get an opportunity to go in and they produce, then it makes us say, hey, let's maybe give him a little bit more.
How much is plays when Mike's not extended the play, when he's to step up and block and throw? Is there a number in your mind or a number in his mind for how quickly he should get the ball off?
Depends on the progression. Depends on how deep the drop, how far we're trying to throw the ball down the field. So it's all different.
How much is Mike setting or adjusting protections on the front? And how much of the breakdowns that are happening on the offensive line is he responsible for that? Maybe he can check them.
Yeah, I think the quarterback is ultimately responsible for how we block it. But our center does quite a bit as well. So those two guys are tied at the hip. From a mental standpoint, making sure we're all going in the right direction and we know who we're not blocking. So, yeah, I mean, he's involved in that. And I'm sorry. And then what was the second part of your five-part question?
I mean, is he doing a good enough job?
Yeah.
Is he ultimately responsible?
Mike's doing a good job. He threw the ball hot a couple times the other night. He was aware of adjustments we made the other night. And I think Mike did a lot of good things well the other night.
As far as the receivers and getting open, are there just not enough guys getting open, or is the ball just not getting out?
It's a combination of things. I think, generally speaking, we started out with a question about pass protection. We can certainly protect better. We certainly in areas can do a better job of getting open. We as coaches can do a better job of, you know, helping them do that. And then we got to throw and catch.
But there are guys that are open. Are the windows tighter?
Sure. There's guys open.
What about the drops?
What about them? Unacceptable. You know, I think that our guys put, you know, individual pressure on themselves, and they know that. It's not acceptable, and it hurts. You know, I think when you drop the football or you get a penalty and for whatever reason you don't overcome it, then, of course, you're eliminating your ability to score touchdowns. You know, and I think that's something that, you know, we got to just keep focusing on the details and throwing and catching. It's part of the details of this game.
You had any plans in practice to try to do something different about the penalties, you know, make guys – more conscious
of it. Jump the fence. I don't know. Running the street. It'd be fun for you guys to write about, but we emphasize it. We talk about it. And, you know, we try to eliminate them. But I guess you're not going to see anything punitive that I'm sure you guys would like to write about.
You played a lot of 12 personnel early on in the game. What did you see from the Broncos against it? Did they play mostly base against it?
Yeah, most teams match you up, and so they stayed in base, you know, and we had a plan to, you know, run and throw out of it, you know, and I think the guys that were on the field did a good job.
You missed Chris Polk, obviously, with Shady and Bryce. You know, it's tough to find him reps, but Chip mentioned after the game he thinks he deserves to get more. Where do you see him fitting in, and what do you like about him?
Well, I think he's done a good job. He caught my eye in the spring. He caught our eye in the spring. I think he's a smart player. He really understands pass protection well. We saw the other night that he's kind of he's a productive runner, you know, and he did a really good job. And so, you know, that's a good group. We feel good about our running back group, and it's like anything. Who do you take off to put the other one on? But in a game like that, you know, we are going to run the football, and we're going to run plays that involve tempo, and we'll throw the ball to the backs. And so there's times when it's good to get a fresh body in there. You know, LaShawn was out for a little bit, which then, of course, stepped up the reps for both Bryce and Chris, and I think they perform well.
As a follow-up to what I asked earlier, is that the Mike Vick is taking 3.4 seconds to throw the ball? Obviously, it's skewed because he extends plays, but is that a number that is acceptable? Is that a number that's within the range?
I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. You know, we time up our throws by whether it's a plant or a hitch and throw or two hitches, or as he goes through his progression, the time changes, you know. And then again, you know, every once in a while, these are not jugs machines. These are not robots you're playing with. Things happen in the game. And, you know, I find it fascinating that people can just put a watch on something or see where the ball's being thrown and call that guy being targeted or, you know. So when a guy in the third row of the stands gets, you know, guy's throwing the ball away, is he the target? The guy, you know, the guy with the Dawkins jersey, does he get a target, you know? Same thing with the time, you know, there's a lot of things that happen, you know, in the game.
So based on your internal times, however you guys measure it upstairs, yeah, is it an acceptable amount? Is it a number you
like? It changes depending on what we're doing. If Mike's going to run a keeper, he's outside the pocket, it's going to take a little longer to throw it, and typically that's what happens on a keeper, you know. If he's in a pocket and we're throwing something that's three-step rhythm, then the ball gets out extremely quick. Later in the game, when you're trying to drive the ball down the field and chunk it a little bit because you're behind, there's times when you hold a little longer. So, you know, it's fun. It's really fun to talk about, you know, and I'm, you know, I think it's neat that everybody tracks that. But, you know, we look at it a different way.
Is Mike in general getting the ball out the way you want?
I think he does a good job of getting the ball out. Yeah, and I thought he did a good job of throwing the ball the other night. He threw the ball pretty accurately the other night. He fit that.
I'm sorry. What do you mean when you say it's never mop up?
We're always playing. We're always playing. And I don't like that term. I've never liked it. And I think that's just personal.
What do you call when you take your starters out?
Well, let me just say this. Everybody that's on our roster, and we put them in the ball game, we trust that they're going to go in there and do a good job. And our guys that went in there did a good job. So now you're not asking me why Damaris wasn't in there, and now all of a sudden, you know what I mean? So it's next week you'll ask me about that.
All your starters?
No, that's not the case. What is that?
Getting back to the red zone issue, is there a minimum percentage? At the end of the season, when you look at your red zone production, yeah, is there a line that you feel that is good enough or not good enough generally?
There's measures and there's percentages. We kind of use those for internal purposes, you know. But we obviously want to score a touchdown every time we get down there. I think a good way to look at it, you know, we always look at, okay, what are the top five teams doing in terms of their percentages? What are the playoff teams doing? And typically, you know, and those numbers can be skewed. You can be scoring a lot of points and scoring from outside the red zone, and that affects it. I've been around here before where the game's over, you punch it into the red zone, and you take a knee in the red zone. You know, that goes against you in terms of the red zone percentages. I just think going back to what I said to start this, generally we've had some bad plays in there, and we just generally need to be more efficient. So whether the ball goes in the end zone or we're inching it closer to the goal line, you know, I think we can do a better job.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay.
All right, that is Pat Shurmur, Eagles offensive coordinator. And, you know, he's being asked all these questions and blame. It is a collection of everything. And Adam, the Eagles are moving the football well enough, but it really becomes crystal clear, and we'll hear from Bill Davis in a moment, in the red zone. That's the number. That's the statistic that jumps out. It's 27th in the league in red zone efficiency. Mm-hmm. And if the Eagles can get better there, this offense takes off.
Yeah, and I think coaches sometimes, in my trials, have called these yards before you get to the red zone as empty yards. If you don't score, then coaches get very frustrated. So playing to your point, that's where it gets so confined, and you got to limit the errors. And, you know, Vic makes a great pass to Selleck, as we talked about. Right. He's got to hold on to the football.
Evan Mathis has the holding penalty. You understood.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a variety of things. It's the scheme. Sure, you could look at that. They do. Is it the run game? Absolutely. Look at that. Is it discipline? Certainly. They look at that every day in practice. Sure. So is it the execution of all of the above? No question about it. Get it right against the Giants on Sunday. Eagles need a big win against the New York Giants. Now, defensively, the challenge is to continue to improve each week. The Eagles had a tough game of it, of course, against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. Adam, the approach they need to take against Eli Manning and the New York Giants.
Well, I think when you break down their personnel, it's very simple. Their pass rush has not been there at all. It's been a big problem. And Jason Pierre-Paul, come back to the back surgery, he's not been himself. In fact, he hasn't been himself in a long time. And they're not finding anyone else to get to the passer. Kiwanuka has been okay, but nothing special. Remember, OCU Mignore now is with the Falcons. Their linebackers, you attack them. You attack them all game because they probably have...
In the passing game, it looked like that's screen. What the Chiefs did on Sunday.
Exactly what I was going to say. Jamaal Charles scored against them. I think you set him up with a screen game. I've been talking about this all season. They haven't done enough of it. You saw the beautiful screen with Bryce Brown. They got to do more of that. I get McCoy involved in it. Even when Bryce Brown is in, I do that. I think you just attack them up the middle. Keep doing what they're doing in the run game. And again, get the backs involved in the passing game. And then, remember Corey Webster with this hip injury. He's been hurt. So yeah. I think you got to go after him if he plays. And the replacement, Dave, they're not deep at corner.
How is the injury situation for the Giants?
Well, their first practice, of course, is on Wednesday. The Eagles do it a little differently here. They practice on Tuesday and go through the week. But they've got a bunch of guys, at least 8 guys who are hurt. They're hoping to get some of them back. But the offensive line is where they've been getting crushed. Eli Manning has struggled mightily, as we said earlier in the show. And the reason why is simply he can't get the protection. He cannot step into his throws like he usually would.
I want to see if Bill Davis blitzes a lot. I want to see. There is a risk when you blitz Eli because then you put your cornerbacks kind of on the island with some terrific down the field receivers.
And they
Eli,
have size too.
Eli synced it up nicely with Victor Cruz on Sunday. Hakeem Nicks, a terrific player as well. Top performance for this New York Giants offense. We know it. They are talented. David Wilson struggling, but that receiving core outstanding. Cruz, Nicks, and Randall, the second-year player who was a second-round draft pick a year ago for the Giants. The Eagles are going to have some challenges here with Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher and Brandon Boykin.
Yeah, you got to throw off Manning's timing because Cruz is going to be in the slot. He's unbelievable, maybe the NFL's most physical and talented slot receiver. Then Randall comes in nickel. He plays outside, of course, with Nicks. Remember, Nicks is on the final year of his rookie contract. A lot of people believe that he's eventually going to take that job. Reuben Randall from Knicks. So this is important. Knicks has been very frustrated. You mentioned David Wilson, unbelievably talented. We know about the fumble history. They're not getting the big plays out of the running game simply because their offensive line is beat up.
All right, let's see what Bill Davis has planned for the New York Giants.
Hi, man. Fire away.
How easy for your guard? You tell me. I mean, can your guys just get past the, you know, giving up 52 points? However many they gave up, just kind of easily?
Absolutely. We can and we will. You know, we're 1 month down, 4 weeks into it. We took a whooping. That's what happened. I mean, we did not play good enough to win, obviously. Those games are tough to swallow. But you move on from them. I mean, you run into some of those games sometimes, and you have to learn from your mistakes and move forward. And right now we're at a stage of 4 weeks of live football that we've tested the defense in. We are not where we want to be, but believe it or not, I know the results are not there, but behind the scenes, and I've watched that game probably 10 times now on tape, as long as every other game we've played, the fundamentals, the techniques, the understanding, the players playing with each other, it is moving forward. The results did not show in that game, obviously, so I'm asking you to trust me even though there's not the results. But the guys know through the daily work that the techniques, It'll turn. It hasn't turned yet. It's not where we want it to be. But we will continue to put our heads down and work, and I really believe it will turn.
Bill, you went with the nickel defense on the first two drives. You got them a three and out the second time. You started nickel in the third drive, and they had two tight ends. And Boykin seemed like he was almost in an outside linebacker role there. Is it obviously the
tight
end?
Yeah, that was my mistake. I believe that they were in three wide receiver personnel group, and so I got caught in a personnel that I didn't want to be in versus his no huddle. So you can't fix it in one play. So as soon as they went, I think they ran a sweep to the side of our sideline, and I fixed it. So that was my fault. Correct. Then we went base, and that was one of those deals where sometimes their personnel, they run a tight end receiver out. I've got mine out there. They're on the ball. They're playing. That's an element of the no huddle that you can get caught in. I got caught in it. Brandon actually did not hurt us in the run game on that play. There was a big run, but it had nothing to do with Brandon being in that role. There was other reasons why that play broke down, but it wasn't Brandon's fault.
for if maybe
you no, it wasn't. It was, for, okay. Sometimes you get caught, and that's one of those times I got caught.
Teams are having a lot of success throwing underneath against you guys, against your linebackers, short passes. Do you need to make changes to your nickel formation, or can you think that can be fixed with the personnel that you have out there?
Well, we've got to get tighter in our zones, first of all. But when we took this project on of putting the new techniques and the new defense in, the first thing we said is we were going to run to the ball better. We're going to fly to the ball our effort. Next thing we do is we're going to stop the big plays. We're going to play deep to short, and we're going to stop the extra yardage plays from happening so we can play a tighter defense. Well, now the understanding of the zones that we're playing and some of the mans, the guys are getting a good feel. We're deep to short, and we can tighten some of those zones down a little bit if needed without sacrifice the deep ball or the bigger plays.
What is Michael Kendricks working through right now that's leading to some inconsistencies?
I think Michael's like a lot of our players. We're very inconsistent right now in applying the techniques and understanding of the overall scheme. So we have days in stretches of plays where all of them are it's very exciting to watch them as they're getting it. Then we have these lulls where it's not where you want it to be, and they're a little bit out of whack. And I think Michael just fights through that as we go, as do a lot of our other players.
We're talking about not sacrificing the deep ball. You look at a guy like Victor Cruz this week, who's had really a lot of success against the Eagles in the past and even against other teams. What kind of challenge does that present, and how do you get caught with him not going behind you?
Well, it's a big challenge because I think Eli's one of the best deep ball throwers. I mean, he throws a beautiful, catchable fade ball or deep ball down the sideline, and Victor Cruz, that's part of what they do well. And I think we have a huge challenge in keeping, it's a matter of staying on the top shoulder of the receivers and making sure we're in the advantageous position on the deep ball.
Bill, four games in, is your personnel better suited to a 3-4 or a 4-3?
I believe we're 3-4. I mean, we're moving in the direction, and right now, I stand in front of you, and I've got the 3-4 that we've installed. We're taking some punches on it right now as we're pushing through to the other side. We as a staff believe with all our heart we're going to push through to that other side. We just have to get through the transition part and the hard part that we're living right now, and the 3-4 is definitely who we've decided to be, and we still have elements of the 4-3 that are out there often. Each week gives you some different challenges, like Peyton and that whole offense where he's checking in and out of his runs and passes at the line. We needed to have a little bit different scheme and more of a disguise scheme, so he can't just obviously put him in the best play. We made him read it as he dropped back. He did a great job, but still, that was the element there.
Bill,
yes, sir.
After four games, what are your thoughts on the level of talent on the defense?
We've got the talent. We just have to get them playing together within the scheme. I don't care what you run, a wide nine or a 3-4-2 gap. Every player playing his technique, they're all attached to each other. The defensive linemen's techniques are attached to the linebacker's technique, who are attached to the safeties. And when you have inconsistency in any one spot, the defense breaks down. It doesn't matter the scheme. It matters that the techniques within the call, within the scheme, are played as 11 as one, we always talk about. And that's where we have to get to, and we're not there yet. And that's probably what shows up more than anything else, is an inconsistent spot here or there where the technique didn't fit the other one, and somebody's got to make up for the person that's not in their gap or in their assignment. And it is moving in the right direction. It is better each week as far as that goes.
How do you explain the lack of production from Trent Cole? And do you think that you can maybe utilize Brandon Graham in sync with him a little bit more? Do you think we might see a little bit more Brandon?
When you talk about production, are you talking about pass rush? In the pass rush area, we have faced two offenses where the ball is out about as quick as it can be in San Diego and Denver. So some of it is a product of who we're playing and how quick it's coming out. I think both of them are doing a lot of there's a lot of disruption when you watch Trent on every play. Now, he hasn't had the sacks, but the disruption, the quarterback hits, getting there has been up there. Now, the other element here against Denver, we're rushing from a two-gap alignment. I'm well aware that that's harder to pass rush, obviously, than when you're wide in an edge and cutting it loose. Part of that in Denver, again, was about disguise of what we were doing for Peyton. So we just didn't line up and say, okay, here comes our pass rush. You do what you have to do. So there was elements that I've put them in some techniques that aren't always advantageous to pass rush, and there's other times they are. And the production, I think, is going in the right direction. And, again, we have to continue to try to put them in those positions.
Is that why we didn't see a lot of Vinny in the first half or third quarter, much in the third quarter? Because
well, we had a lot
out of a two-gap scheme you were trying to?
Yes. basically, in a nutshell, we weren't wide and cutting it loose and ripping. And a part of that was so we could try to keep them on the heels with our disguise of how many rushers were coming and where they were coming from. Everything in these schemes and game plans is a give and take. And when you face these guys like Peyton, what are you giving up and what are you taking away? What are you weakening on your own defense? What are you strengthening? And you play that game and you go along and we threw the best plan that we believed would help throw them off and slow them down, and it didn't.
How similar is Eli to Peyton in terms of changing plays at the line?
I think he has the ability to change plays, and he does. I don't know because I'm not in their playbooks, but Peyton runs the offense, calls the game from the line of scrimmage. He's in and out. There's no play called. He tells everybody after he gets his look. I think in New York it's a little bit different. I think there's play calls that are called in with a couple options for Eli to switch in and out of, I believe.
When you play deep to short, that opens up the underneath a little bit
if
you're not getting that pressure.
Yes, it does.
And so do you have to adjust? Are you looking down the road and saying, I may have to adjust and not play deep to short in some certain situations? And obviously you do some. But playing against a guy like Peyton, who obviously is supremely talented getting the ball out.
It does adjust each week. And I know it's frustrating. And trust me, no one's more frustrated than me watching first downs happen. But when you give up, like, for instance, the first play of the game, we were not deep to short in the zone, and it ended up being a 30-yard gain. That is not what we want. There was an open check down there for him. If he'd have taken that at five, it would have been more advantageous in the zones. Now, man's and zones you move in and out of. And in our zones, we don't want to get the deep one. We want them to check it down. If I want to take away the low check downs, I man them up. And then everybody's low on a man, and now it's man on man, and you go for matchups from there.
Pressure, though,
absolutely. Either zone or man. Pressure is what you're looking for. And again, I held the guys back a little bit in our odd front as far as rushing the passer. The ball's coming out so quick anyway. We blitzed a limited number of times. And when we did blitz, we got the bubbles and we got all the stuff that you don't want. It's a numbers game. How many are you bringing? And if he goes his bubble, then they've got more blockers than we have defenders. So there's that game going on. And that's kind of where that game took us.
Do you expect to have Patrick Chung back this week? And if so, will Earl Wolf continue to start?
Earl Wolf is going in a positive direction. He's still making his rookie mistakes. Patrick Chung is day-to-day. I really don't know. With the injuries he's dealing with, it's really a wild card. We're preparing not to have him. He's preparing to play. We have to prepare with all injured players. Schematically, you prepare for not having them, and at the same time, they're preparing to be there. So,
there hasn't been an interception since the opening game, or is that just a product of everything else not being quite there?
No, we have to be a turnover team, and our turnovers are not high enough right now. We've got to work on that. We talk about it a lot. We try to get our hands on as many balls in practice as we can, but it's not. We've got to increase our turnovers and give our offense more possessions, just like the three and outs and getting off the field. This defense has to increase its production for the team to succeed. I really believe that because we've got to get the ball in our offense's hands more often than we are doing right now.
There were some plays in the second quarter against the Broncos when there was a pretty large gap in between Cox and Cole, where Cole is standing up pretty far outside. And is that Kendrick's responsibility there, or is Cox asked to clog that hole? I mean, they got some.
I'm not positive the exact play. I think I know what you are. We're Trent got upfield too high, and it widened the hole, and it shouldn't be up that high. We have to tighten and squeeze that down. There's some little technique things like that you're talking about. It puts Michael in a huge bind. Some of that was a pass call, and one of the dilemmas you run in when you play Peyton, you make a pass call, he checks to his run. You make a run call, he checks to his pass. You disguise it, you could get either one, but now you're farther away from your work, and that was one of those where he saw us in a two-deep shell and a pass rush element, and he checked to a run that put us a little bit in harm's way.
If you look at the number of sacks, quarterback pressures, do you expect more to be coming from your outside linebackers or your D-linemen?
I think it's going to be spread around. I really do. In this scheme, the way we pressure different ways and different people and we bring different alignments and run all the different fronts we run, I think it'll be spread around equally. I really do. It's the way it usually plays out at the end of the season. You'll see all the position groups have a number of them, and then the D-line sometimes will have more. Outside backers have their share. Yeah.
I think quarterbacks are completing 70% against you guys. It's a lot of underneath stuff. Mm-hmm. It seems like teams are, you know, going to force you to try to tackle better? I mean, is that a big part of they're going to keep doing low-risk stuff, underneath stuff, and not taking those deep shots and trying to get the yards after the catch? Is your answer to that just tackling better or better angles?
It's twofold. You've got, well, all of the above. You have to have better angles. You have to tackle better. Our tackling is getting better. It's not good enough yet. Some individual players are tackling better. We got to collectively tackle better. If I want to take away the shorter ones, I can play more mans. Like I said earlier, I can play more man concepts. And that way everybody's on a man, and now you just work your one-on-one battles and matches that you have. So I'm moving in and out of zones and mans. Again, against Peyton, we believe that the zones and the disguise was a way to go. We did play our share of mans. A lot of those mans got some runs to it. So you're going back and forth on it. I'd still want to – I don't want to give up the deep plays. We can make a team do a lot of the short ones. We just came up against the best in the business at driving the field with taking what you give them, and that's what he did. And we needed plays and tackle and turnovers, and it's a patient game that, again, he won. He played it better than we did.
Do you think that's why the interceptions might be down? Because, if you're throwing underneath, I mean, you're not going to.
It could be. They do come in bunches. The interceptions come in bunches. And when you mix your mans and zones, I think it will rise, but right now it hasn't.
Wolf still your top option? I mean, as far as if Patrick can't go, or would you consider some of the other guys?
All of them. It always has been a close race. I have no problem with Colt or Kurt or any of them. Right now, Earl's a young man that we wanted to see out there and grow him. One of the biggest things with rookies is they're going to make their mistakes. Somebody has to grow. Every player out there that shines, somebody grew him at one point. Somebody went through his rookie mistakes and watched him develop and get better. And that's what we're doing right now with Earl. We're developing. He's all in. He works his tail off, and we have to grow him through these mistakes. But no, I have no problem with the other guys either.
On him is the leaving the feet issue, where he lunges a lot. You know, looks like he's in position to make a tackle and doesn't. I've seen guys with a lot of athleticism, and that's been a hard thing to get out of him. Is that difficult for you guys to coach out of a guy? Is that on him to just?
It's not only Michael, but it's all the guys that the tackling. It's something we work on every day. There's not a day goes by that we don't do tackling. And the biggest part of tackling is bringing your feet with you. And that's a point that we make with Michael all the time and all the guys. Running your feet and wrapping with you. I mean, wrap tackling with your helmet in between the ball carrier and the end line. A lot of times what we were doing earlier is our head was on the wrong side. We were behind the ball carrier and the end line, and it turns into an arm tackle, and you miss it. But now we're working hard on getting our head in front of the body, running our legs through, and wrap tackling. All the fundamentals that all of them have worked on since they've been peewee football. And we continue to do it every day out here, and it is slowly improving.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Bill Davis, Eagles defensive coordinator. Adam, we will catch up on what he said, what Pat Shurmur said. We invite you to call, give us a prediction, Eagles and the Giants. Hey, the NFC East is wide open. Let's go out and win a game at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, 215-339-6709. When we return, Dave and Adam. We'll be back in just a moment.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity. They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV. Oops. Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Cancer can move fast,
but Jefferson is keeping our patients ahead of it. With the fastest growing medical oncology program in the region, treating cancers with a team of multi-specialty experts who work together to provide seamless care, helping us earn NCI designation and widespread respect. Cancer has a strategy, divide and conquer. That's why we give our patients our undivided attention.
Discover the difference Jefferson's Kimmel Cancer Center makes. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We are back. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan. Time to get to some phone calls and some coordinator reaction. Adam, let's go to JR in Chicago, who joins us on this Tuesday morning. Hi, JR.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Let me give you my prediction. Yes, I'm going to say 28-17 Birds.
Okay.
And hey, I also want to piggyback on something Adam said with regards to Victor Cruz.
Yeah.
We do have – Billy Davis has to do a better job of defending the slot. If you look at Eddie Royal, Donnie Avery, what Wes Welker did, you know, they definitely ran the field on us. So I think we need to do a better job on defending that slot position.
Yeah, good call. Good call. Yep. Thanks for the call. Right. We talked about this a little bit off the air here. The idea, Adam, of these slants, these bubble screens, these crossing routes, just tearing apart this defense.
Yeah, and Billy Davis talked about the technique part of it. You got to be sound in your technique. He said it's not scheme based. Well, that's fine, but whatever the players are being asked to do, they're not doing it correctly, and it's got to get cleaned up. I mean, it has not been cleaned up yet. That is the one thing, and it's crushing this defense. It's short area, bubble screens, slants. It's just skinny posts. I mean, it's incredible.
And he said he wants to tighten up as we take a live look at practice here. Everybody just kind of starting to get loose out there.
Beautiful day today.
Yeah, beautiful day in South Philadelphia. Tightening up the coverages, maybe playing a little bit more man-to-man. Tough assignment, though.
That's what we were expecting, Dave. You talk about man-to-man, and it's something we were expecting because with Bradley Fletcher and Kyrie Williams are press man corners. That's what they do best. And they've got really good size. They don't have the ultimate speed you want a cornerback. So that's something they've got to do. They've got to get their hands. And this is my big thing and my keys to the game for last week's game is getting your hands on those receivers. And it's got to happen. You've got three big receivers you're facing this week. You can't just let them run free.
Right. All right. Dante in Philadelphia joins us. Dante, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
All righty, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. Can't complain.
Thank you.
Man, as far as my prediction, I'm going to say 27 Eagles, 20 Giants.
Okay.
We take this one, but the defense is very, very concerning for me, man. Victor Cruz, you know, he's notoriously known for, giving us a very hard time.
Yep.
You know, but in general, I'm not too much sold on this 3-4, you know.
Well, I mean, here's my thing, Dante, and I think Eagles fans, please understand that the team understood that this was going to take a while to build. I mean, there have been so many changes, Dante, and they're committed to a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
They want a 3-4 and build with it. And it's not all about this season. It's about bringing in the right personnel. Adam,
how
far away from a personnel standpoint, got to get better at the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Linebackers need to make more
plays. Need more size. I think you need more size and need more physical. And then Billy Davis made a great point with Michael Kendrick. It's not a talent issue. It's taking the right angle. The bad angles, how long has that been a problem here? It's been an issue that the coaches see every game. They need to get better at it. And Billy said every day they're working on tackling. It's got to show up at some point. You know, Kendricks, to me, has been a flash player. He makes three or four beautiful plays per game and then takes a bad angle. He's got to be more consistent.
Ideally, what is he? Is he an outside pass rusher?
He can do that, Dave.
But if you are the coordinator, what are you doing?
I think you want to move him around a little bit. Because he's a guy that has great pass rush ability. Did a great job at Cal with that. He's a guy that when he plays inside, because he's a little bit short, not small, he's got to be able to get the offensive players off him and shed. That's something he's got to do a better job of, because when you're shorter, you have a tendency to get caught up in the wash, and you want to make sure that you don't do that. But, man, when he's at his game.
Playing downhill is his game.
Yeah, he is awesome. When he's doing his job, it's just not consistent enough, and that's something that you're preaching every day with him because he sees the tape. He knows it.
Right. Mike in Scranton, Pennsylvania, joins us. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Dave?
All right, Mike. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I was just wondering, do you think the Eagles should get a receiver
that could get some speed, maybe get DeMarcus Johnson back on the field, or
let's talk about that. Yes, I would love to see another receiver who can get down the field and complement DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, because
let's understand that this year, I don't think that's happening. Who is out there who can run down the field? And I think Howie Roseman's talked about this a couple of times. Mm-hmm. The Eagles have looked, they've made phone calls, they've scoured the wires, they've scoured the streets, they've had workouts, and there's just not as much depth as you would think at the wide receiver position around the league. So when Jeremy Maclin was injured, boy, that really comes back to haunt this offense.
It crushed them.
DeMarcus is a quick receiver.
Short area quickness, Dave.
He is not a down-the-field, vertical kind of receiver.
I agree with you. Totally.
Yeah, I feel like he can still get some separation, do some slant routes and all that kind of stuff.
Sure,
you know,
We might see Jeff Mail in that role this week a little bit. Mail came in and had a couple of big catches on Sunday, and maybe you use him just to throw in a new look against the New York Giants.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Hey, give me a prediction, Mike.
For this week?
Yes, sir.
I'm saying Eagles win, tight game, maybe 10 points, I'd say.
Okay, give me a score.
By 10 points, maybe 30 to 20 Eagles.
You're the
Hopefully
man.
The defense could step up a little bit.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call. I agree, to me, as we take a look at live practice here, Eagles going through a light practice on this Tuesday. To me, there's Jeff Mail, who could get some time.
He delivered the mail in the last game.
The defense has to kind of step up this game a little bit.
It does. It does. And you know, Billy keeps talking about the turnovers. Other than week one, you really haven't seen them. So they've got to get back to that. And Billy also talked about the hands.
And how can you become a turnover takeaway team without blitzing? Does the scheme become more aggressive this week? Do you worry about exposing the deep throws which we saw even on Sunday when Manning went to Cruz for the touchdown.
Right. I think there are a couple things you got to do. I remember talking to coaches in training camp on my travels on my little mini tour. And a lot of them talk about the defensive linemen have to keep their hands up because when you're playing a three-man front, you're going against five guys. So the best thing you could do is get your hands up when you're moving inside. You can do that. That's part of it. It's also disrupting the timing of the receivers and running backs when they're out of the backfield. Anything you could do to throw off the timing of the quarterback, you do it. And, man, Eli's timing has been way off.
Yeah,
I have not seen him play this poorly, and the decision-making has been bad. Maybe a little bit more disguise. And Billy's got to trust his guys that they can get it. That your trust in the players is huge, and Billy's got to, at some point, feel like they're getting closer. And he did say that. He said he saw it on tape. He's watched it 10 times. Obviously, he saw some things that he liked, but they weren't doing it consistently enough.
All right, Gary in Southwest Florida joins us. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Adam.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
All right. How are you?
Hey, you know, I've been watching these four games, as we all have, and I'm not seeing any adjustments. I mean, we can hang in with anybody, it seems, in the first half. We're close, but we're not getting killed. You know, but our adjustments so far, we're getting out-coached big time in the second half.
Well, the Eagles are being outscored in the second half, and particularly in the fourth quarter. Is that a coaching thing? Is that a...
Yes.
Playing it better. They've played two better teams here.
They've been
Kansas
tired?
City Chiefs.
That's another thing.
The Kansas the City issue? Chiefs and the San Diego and the Denver Broncos are undefeated. I mean, they're good football teams. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles lost the battle to
and
them
we might
both
have lost anyway, but you know, as far as our adjustments, you know, on defense especially, you know, I have to get specific about it, has not been up to snuff. You know, we've been getting out-coached defensively, whereas something works well in the first a quarter or maybe half for us, and we kind of stick with that, and these teams are adjusting to it and just beating our butts, you know.
Gary, I can't argue that the Eagles are losing the battle in the second half. Why that's happening, I think everybody has to be held accountable for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can't be a matter of conditioning. I don't think conditioning is a problem, do you?
I don't think conditioning is a problem. Well, I think the Eagles are losing the battle. I think against the Denver Broncos, when the Broncos came out and scored to open the second half, all of a sudden it's 28-13, and the Eagles are in an unenviable task of trying to play catch-up against Peyton Manning, and nobody's going to win that battle.
Gary,
you know,
I would add one thing.
We kind
here.
Of abandoned the run, and I think that's a mistake. You know, we run the ball down the field as fast as a lot of people throw it.
Well, I don't buy the whole. And Gary, I'll get your prediction here next, but
okay.
the whole tempo thing. I mean, the Eagles are everybody's playing up tempo. This is not an unusual offensive approach.
No, the one thing I want to add here is the last two games, they're getting ball controlled about 40-20, 40 minutes to 20 minutes. That's going to have an impact on your defense in the second half. It clearly did. In the Denver game, that defense was gassed. Okay?
But it's because they can't get off the field.
That's my point, because
the offense is playing hurry up.
No, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is the defense can't get off the field. They're getting crushed on long drives. Your defense is going to get gassed. I don't care which defense you are.
All right, Gary, give me a prediction.
I like the Eagles, of course, 27-22.
27-22, huh? All right.
Gary, where were you, Miracle of the Meadowlands, 35 years ago?
I was right watching the tube.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
And you didn't give up on the game?
No, for some reason. You know, when a game is a touchdown difference, anything could happen in the last minute, which did in that case. But no. If we were down 3 touchdowns, I probably would have been out in the yard.
And your reaction was jump up, scream, grab the it wasn't remote
control. I don't think
any
of us forgot it. And there's been a couple of finishes like that over the years.
Sure.
You know, it's of course I was there. I've been there for every game since I was about 12.
That's great. Gary, thanks for being such a great fan.
All right, take care.
All right, take care. We're going to try one more call here on Eagles Live on this Tuesday. Then we are wrapping it up. Stay tuned for Eagles Update tonight. And, of course, coverage later today. Michael Vick meets the media as well. Give us a quick update on some injuries, Adam.
Well,
as far as you know, I know that
first, David Deal's got the bad thumb. It's going to be a long shot for this week. They've had Justin Pugh, the Philly native,
right tackle
from Syracuse. We saw at the Senior Bowl. And then you've got their interior lineman. Boss is going to be very questionable, and Snee is also hurt. So we'll see what they do in practice this week. It's not good. They've tried everything. They've shuffled the line. It hasn't worked. This is where, when we talk about advantages, Dave, the Eagles must get an advantage. Billy Davis has got to do everything he can to break down that offensive line, which has been makeshift this season.
How about the Giants' defense?
Linebackers, you go after. They're pretty healthy. Corey Webster is the one where they're concerned because of that hip injury.
That's a big injury, though.
It is, because they've been getting crushed on deeper routes. You saw Steve Smith do it a couple weeks ago. Dwayne Bowe got him last week. You got to take advantage of it. Now, schematically, what are they going to do? Are they going to move Sean Jackson around? They got to get him on deeper routes. That's something that they got to bring back. They did it earlier in the season. They got to bring it back.
All right, let's take one more call here and wrap things up. Savoy in New Jersey joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Savoy.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
What do you got?
My question is, like the last fellow that was on the line, these adjustments that are being made.
Yeah.
We're not seeing them. I've been a long-time fan.
Well, I mean, I agree that you win games in the NFL generally in the fourth quarter. It comes down to close games, big plays, fourth quarter. Eagles, in the first game of the season, held on against the Redskins. Second game, San Diego Chargers didn't handle the fourth quarter particularly well. Certainly, the third game against the Kansas City Chiefs, you have an opportunity to get your defense in prime position. The Chiefs are on the field at their own 5-yard line with the football. Eagles rallying, and the Chiefs take off 8.5 minutes almost of the clock. And then, of course, on Sunday in Denver, the fourth quarter was over by then. But, yeah, I mean, the second half, Eagles have to start coming out of the locker room winning that battle, no doubt about it.
If I may go off topic for a second.
Of course.
If this is about scheme and about personnel to fit this scheme, I'm wondering why they didn't go after a couple of the pieces from maybe Deion Jordan, people they were familiar with.
Well, Deion Jordan was off the board in the draft. He had been taken at number 3.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm understanding, like, why not go for the people you know that can run your scheme?
Some of those players who look so good in college may not translate to the NFL game. I think the Eagles in the draft, their philosophy is go after the best player who's on their board. And in the case, for example, in the second round, Zach Ertz was an undeniable talent, even though they had Brent Celek and James Casey on board already.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But
you know, and ultimately,
to
it's going
to people to fit this team.
Ultimately, look, it's a long range process, and we just have to be patient, particularly on the defensive end. Savoy, give me a prediction for Sunday.
Give you a prediction of Eagles winning 28-21.
28-21. All right. Savoy, thank you so much. Good stuff.
No problem.
Adam Kaplan, we thank you for joining us here today on Eagles Live.
All right.
Have a good rest of the week.
And we'll see you guys on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Adam Kaplan in studio, Dave Spadaro as well. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Full coverage the entire day. Make sure you're with us every step of the way right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.